Welcome to Latter-day Radio here on 1430 KLO World Class Talk. And making it all possible are our sponsors, Book of Mormon Evidence.org, Family Heritage Publishers, DefendingUtah.org, and Daniel Rona's Israel Revealed. Today we're asking a critical question. Is freedom of religion in jeopardy? Let's find out.
I'm Martin Tanner, and with me is Greg Girard.
I guess I'm the sidekick.
I thought I was the sidekick.
No, I'm the sidekick. You're always kicking me in the side when when I bring up something that I can't substantiate.
Today's topic is
what we talked about last week, and the fact that we just had the 4th of July a couple of days ago. We hope that your barbecue and your potato salad and everything turned out fine, that the flies stayed away, and that everybody had a good time and the watermelon was as advertised.
You didn't overdose on red or green Jell-O?
No, it's a long time since I've had Jell-O. I like Jell-O with fruit in it, but let's not talk about Jell-O today. What are we going to talk about today, Martin?
Today, we're going to follow up on the issue of religious freedom in the United States. There are people who think there is just no issue here. Religion has as much freedom now as it ever has. There are people who think we are on the edge of a cliff and religion is losing many, many of its rights. Today we're going to talk about that. See if we can provide you with some facts and information so that you will better understand that issue, because it is a very, very important one, one which religious people of many, many denominations have concern for.
Well, just as an example, if you followed a little footnote in the news, it was probably last year, the Russian government kicked the Jehovah Witnesses out of the country. I mean, literally. Their churches were taken over. Their property was confiscated. Jehovah Witnesses have no rights in that country to preach the gospel in from their point of view or even practice it. And LDS missionaries no longer are called missionaries. They're volunteers, and they can't go tracting door-to-door like Martin and I did in Japan and Germany, respectively, so many years ago. But you say, well, that's Russia. What does that have to do with America? And I would submit that what happens in Russia can happen here as well. Let's not be so naive and take our liberties for granted.
We live in a bizarre time when, to be very blunt, if you are Muslim, you can say and do practically anything, and it is praised by certain segments of our society. But if you happen to be a Christian, you can't. If you wanted, I'll give you some examples. Some might say that's extreme. If you are in high school or in college or some university and are invited to write a paper and you write it on Islam and your experience in America as a Muslim, everybody will think that is really neat, cool, and wonderful. If you instead were a Christian and wrote a paper, particularly in high school, but the same things would happen in various colleges and universities, about Jesus or about Christianity or about some other aspect of Christianity in general, you would find that you would either be censured, asked to find another topic, or ridiculed. That's a tragic thing. We are in a time when religion, and particularly Christianity, is not well thought of in certain segments of society. And beyond that, we have an erosion of our rights as Christians in many, many different areas.
And if you need an example, rather than using Russia, let's take root country, where we got our English from Great Britain, and see what's happening in what do they call it? Londonistan, where they have an Islamic mayor, and people are bending over backwards. Someone was just recently jailed for the very thing that Martin just talked about. So let's not take religious freedom for granted. And that's something that my wife and I spent 3 months in Switzerland for a year ago. We just got back a year ago, working with the Kennedy Institute for International Studies. It was actually a mission. We didn't have to wear white shirts or wear badges. In fact, we were not allowed to wear badges. But we spent some time at the UN working on the church's approach to teach human rights around the world, especially in emerging places like Africa or Asia, where the governments don't have a tradition of protecting religious freedom, even though most governments in the country signed on to the Human Rights Declaration of 1948 as a result of something that was actually promulgated and authored by Eleanor Roosevelt, which included, obviously, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, all of those kinds of things. So I know from my own personal experience that the leadership of the church is very concerned about religious freedom. And Martin, let's tell everybody who we are and why we're here. This is Latter-day Radio on 1430 KLO World Class Talk. And we are continuing our discussion about religious freedom and why it's important.
We are in the United States of America when it was founded. The founding fathers, right after the Constitution was signed, was enacted, a Bill of Rights was passed. And the very first one had freedom of speech and freedom of religion. The gist of the drafts of the First Amendment, which incidentally was penned by James Madison. Jefferson was off in Europe at the time, which is why he didn't get that task, even though he had more experience. But James Madison and several of his colleagues put together several drafts of the First Amendment. And I've gone back and looked at every one of those drafts, and it is very clear that the intent of the First Amendment was twofold. Number one, the U.S. is not going to have a state-sponsored church, a state-sponsored denomination.
Like the Church of England,
for example. Will be no Church of England. There will be no Christian Church of the United States. That's the way it is. That didn't mean that certain denominations couldn't have more preferential treatment, contrary to current beliefs. It also did not mean that every single denomination had to be treated equally, as is commonly believed today. It meant, number one, there will be no church state, and number two, the federal government will not stop religious activities unless they are harmful to somebody in a physical way. The idea was that thoughts, ideas, expressions of religion should just be tolerated, and they were to be freely exercised. So the way the First Amendment, at least the religion clause, reads is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. 16 words. If we were to paraphrase that today, in today's language, what we would say is the federal government is not supposed to in any way stop freedom of religion or prohibit its free exercise, and there will not be any church-sponsored denomination. That's it. That's the whole meaning.
And pretty simple. It seems simple to me, but somehow it's evolved into something different, hasn't it, Martin?
It has, tragically, especially from the 1960s when Madeleine Murray O'Hare, who was an avowed atheist, filed a series of federal lawsuits to stop prayer in school and related lawsuits to stop the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. When those were filed, what happened was that the ability to freely exercise religion was greatly curtailed, and the idea shifted from freedom to exercise religion and having freedom to have religion in schools and in other governmental contexts to be free from religion in those contexts. And the way that happened was the Supreme Court, which leaned pretty far to the left, if we call it what it is, decided that they wanted to stop religion in schools, that religion and prayer should be barred from schools. And the way they did that was to try to search for some kind of judicial precedent. They wanted to find a U.S. Supreme Court decision that said, no, church and government must be separated. Religion and government must be separated. They couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. So what they did instead was they took a letter that Thomas Jefferson had written to the Danbury Baptist Association right after the First Amendment was enacted. And the Baptists, at the time the First Amendment was enacted, were prohibited in Virginia from holding public office. And so Jefferson's writing them a letter saying, this is really cool. In effect, the First Amendment's been enacted. We have a constitution. So now you can be involved in government and in governmental activities. In the federal government, there's a wall that stops the government from keeping you from participating as a religious group.
Kept them out of the public square before that. Now they can come into the public square. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. And that was what Jefferson's wall of separation between church and state meant, and that's the context. The U.S. Supreme Court in the 1960s took that phrase from Jefferson and used it for the exact opposite meaning which he intended.
Well, that brings us to the end of this segment, but we're coming back. This is Latter-day Radio here on 1430 KLO World Class Talk. We'll be back after these messages.